Hello, friends. This is the 8th of September 2013, and we are working on a new series in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2. And we are calling this the Techniques of Integration Webinar Commentaries, and we are on commentary number 3. Commentary number 3. So, we continue here on page 347. We've been dealing with the two stages of destruction and construction, and in the constructive stage, there is additional light thrown over and upon the personality, and in that light, the man sees a greater light and becomes capable of becoming a light bearer. And this can be, I suppose, on any one of the rays, although it is traditionally the second ray that is called the ray of the light bearer. But the soul is light, the soul is love, and those who are in close contact with it, integrated with it, and in process of being infused by the soul can carry the light. Okay, what he says here... What I have to say concerning each ray and its work with the individuals upon it, that is, you know, the soul ray, in integrating the personalities, will be conveyed by means of a formula of integration. Okay, and these are from the old commentary, and there are certain words associated with them. This will itself be divided into two parts, dealing with those processes in time and space which bring about the integration of the personality. Now, we have constantly to think that this work of integrating the personality takes place over a long period of time. And we do remember here, I put it in big purple, that these techniques are not applied, nor can the man avail himself of them until such a time as he is an integrated personality. And I think particularly of the higher aspects of the techniques which seem to influence the personality in the direction of the soul and correlate the energy system of the personality with that of the soul. Well, really, in a way, the energy system of the personality is an extension of the energy system of the soul because, as we know, there is within every causal body the three units, the mental unit, the permanent atoms on the astral and physical plane that generate the personality. Okay, so divide it into two parts. All right, the words covering the process in every case are alignment, crisis, light, revelation, and integration. This is what we have called in studying esoteric psychology the acclery process, and we've sometimes added words between them to talk about the different phases that lead from one to another. As D.K. describes this, he does not give the same symmetrical description in every discussion of the ray techniques, but I think we will gather enough to see what every soul ray type passes through as it is integrating its already rapidly integrating personality and aligning it with the soul and bringing in increasing soul influence into that integrated personality. The techniques of integration do involve, the TOIs do involve a soul influence. It is not a question merely of integrating a personality in a self-centered or selfish sense. That stage must already have been reached before it is really possible to apply these techniques, which in every case you will see actually lead the personality in the direction of soul expression. And then it's as if the fusion techniques are a continuation of what is started in the techniques of integration. This we will see, and the fusion techniques, of course, are fewer, as he will explain to us, because there are only three of them, and those on the different rays use one or other of these three. So under each heading, the heading of each ray, we shall have the formula of integration, and this is pretty well given in the old commentary. It's dual application of destruction and rebuilding, with a brief indication of the process and the result. Again, I would say given in the old commentary. But DK does elaborate upon this, because these old stanzas are in need of interpretation in terms of their modern application. And the final stages of the process, wherein the man A brings the bodies into alignment, also alignment with the soul, and not just alignment with themselves. That is an earlier phase, you know, the aligning of the bodies of the personality with the personality center represent an earlier phase. So it brings the three bodies into alignment, passes alignment with the soul, most definitely, because otherwise there wouldn't be a crisis here, passes through a crisis of evocation, and we will say, of the soul, thus, as the Bhagavad Gita says, becoming manifest through the magical power of the soul. And this is a part of the white magical process, really. Process in which the influence of the soul is augmented through alignment and consequent interplay. Consequent. Okay. Then enters into the phase of light, wherein the man sees clearly the next step to be taken, and that is in a personality sense, and moving towards greater interplay, receptivity to the soul, and interplay with the soul. Now, in some cases, that light is revelatory of personality imperfections. It's still a personal phase, and does not concern the larger picture. But soon, in the next phase, so alignment, you see, we have here alignment, crisis, light, and then revelation. Some of these words are italicized, but they all need to be emphasized. Revelation of the plan and what he has to do with this. So the more enlightened personality starts to see the bigger picture and his role in that picture. So this is a more impersonal stage and less concerned with purification. So the by this time, the disciple, we are dealing here with the disciple who commits his purified energies to assist with the plan as he understands it. All right. Dealing here. D-E-A-L. All right. And then finally, the integration, alignment, crisis, light, revelation, integration. Integration of the three bodies into one synthetic whole, and is therefore ready for the technique of fusion, which is suited to the ray type. Now, this synthetic whole is not a selfish integration. That we have to understand. That happened long before. Which phase happened long before, during a period when the man was not interested in the higher of the pairs of opposites? Matter of fact, there are many selfishly integrated personalities that really are atheistic, do not believe in any higher type of reality or higher power, and they're pretty much concentrated upon their own effective self-expression in the particular context within the three worlds in which they find themselves. But you see, this word integration covers such a span of activities. So there, as I say, there's integration of and integration with, and that's what we have to understand. Integration of and integration with. So the integration of the personality has to do with its internal coordination, alignment with the highest point within itself, which is the personality center, which utilizes the lower mind and as the directing agent, and which fulfills personality desires. Integration with is another matter, because the higher of the pairs of opposites, the soul is being coordinated with the personality, which has become integrated within itself. So integration of, and I might use the word within. Okay. So later, there is a integrative coordination of the soul with the personality, which has already become integrated within itself. In other words, the four aspects can function successfully, effectively. The mind, emotions, and body directed by the personality center in an effective manner. So that is integration within itself. But now another factor enters, another energy system enters, which has to be coordinated with that personality integration, or that personality which has been integrated within itself. And this sometimes can cause disturbance of the previous integration. All right, so the type of integration we are speaking of here will cause a disturbance of the previously achieved personality integration of a lower kind. And we do see that there are problems on the way to integration, and as he discussed with us, some of the psychological problems result from the integrative process and later from the fusion process. There's always a new adjustment and a period of transition. One is passing from a lower integration to a higher integration, and the transitional phase is often a bit messy. Okay. There is there is passage from a lower integration to a higher. And that's what we have constantly to keep in mind, because sometimes we might just think that these techniques are simply for the purpose of integrating the personality only. The other energic factor does come into play, as we will see. It's not simply a question of integrating the personality on its own ray. We can say, and it is true, the personality can become integrated on its own ray. But the integration in which the soul is interested is an integration of the personality with the energies and interests and directions of the soul. So, just as it is so that when a greater disciple swings into the life of a lesser disciple, when an initiate swings into the life of a disciple, when a master swings into the life of an initiate, there will be a disruption of the present condition of integration achieved because it is not expansive enough to embrace the qualities which the greater source would like to see assimilated and instituted. And so there has to be a destruction of the present state in order to reorganize in terms of a greater integration, a greater state of relationship, which will encompass more in terms of capability of action and also in terms of consciousness. All right. So this will bring us to our second point, which concerns the technique of fusion and the emergence into activity of the personality ray. This is very interesting because even earlier, the personality ray emerged during those 3, 7, or 11 lives. And why those words? Why 3, 7, or 11? These are not arbitrary figures. There must be a significance here in terms of how long it takes really to create that selfish, self-centered personality integration, the dominant personality concerned largely with itself. So this will bring us to our second point, which concerns the technique of fusion and the emergence into activity of the personality ray. So he is definitely, definitely relating the technique of integration to the technique of fusion. Technique of fusion, definitely. As if one follows on from another. So what about this emergence into activity of the personality ray? And we would say the personality ray emerges as a sub-ray of the soul ray, and not in its own right, which is often antagonistic to the will of the soul. We saw earlier how the will of the soul and the will of the personality will come into conflict with each other when one becomes aware of purpose and the direction of the higher will. This will evoke a conflict between these two tendencies. So this emergence into activity of the personality ray, we just have to say, you know, not in its own right, but as a subset or sub-ray of the soul ray. And then, indeed, it can be still a more powerful personality even than before, but it'll be better directed. So a more powerful personality than emerged before during the selfish stage will now emerge. But it will be directed by the soul, the consciousness of which is fused with that of the personality. So, and now, you know, DK is well aware that we're dealing with that ambiguous term here, or a term which people often misunderstand. Just what do we mean by integration, he says. We are apt to bandy words about with unthinking lightness and inexactitude, how very true, but dealing as we are with the development which is becoming increasingly prevalent in the human field, okay, the emergence of the personalities, which DK said has will bring its own particular problems, presumably of the conflict of lower egos, presumably. So, dealing as we are with the development which is becoming increasingly prevalent in the human field, it might profit us for a moment to define it, that is integration, and seek to understand one or two of its major implications. So define it, i.e., nature of integration. And seek to understand one or two of its major implications. There are probably many. It has to be regarded as an essential step prior to passing in full waking consciousness into the fifth, the spiritual kingdom. So let's just say this is this idea of passing in full waking consciousness suggests conscious initiation. At least an awakening to the energies and values, to the energies and values of the fifth kingdom of nature, the spiritual kingdom. And really a kingdom which remains the major focus of the individual as he moves even into a polarization within the spiritual triad, because after all it's called the spiritual triad, and the true spiritual kingdom emerges in consciousness when one is actually polarized within the spiritual triad, within the higher triad, within the Atma Buddhi Manas. That is the true domain of the fifth or spiritual kingdom. So let's put that down. The spiritual triad is the true domain of the spiritual kingdom. And of course that just shows you that when we start on the road of initiation with the first initiation, we are only just in the very beginning phases of entering the spiritual kingdom, because we are still a long way from the fourth initiation, which will actually take us, take our consciousness into that of the spiritual triad, and which will see to the polarization of that consciousness within the spiritual triad. We regard the physical body as a functioning aggregate of physical organs. This is the important word, the functioning aggregate of physical organs, each with its own duties and purposes. We have sort of a, what do we call it, a unified division of labor. These, when combined and acting in unison, we regard as constituting a living organism. The idea of organization is suggested in organism. Suggested by the word organism. The many parts form one whole, working under the direction of the intelligent, conscious thinker, the soul, as far as man is concerned. Even when we think of ourselves as a personality, we are really the soul, and when we think of ourselves as a soul and personality, we are really the monad, if you get to the essence of the matter. Not the monad is liberated and in full possession of its expressive and conscious powers on its own plane, not that, but we are an extension of that. So the many parts form one whole, working under the direction of the intelligent, conscious thinker. The human thinker on the lower mental plane is simply an extension of the higher thinker, who is the soul. So let's put that down. The human thinker is simply an extension of the higher thinker on the higher mental plane, the soul. At the same time, this conscious form, conscious in its own right, having and possessing the consciousness of the matter of which it is composed, this conscious form is slowly arriving at a point where integration into the larger whole becomes desirable and is finally achieved. So I think we can see here again, this suggests the stage of revelation wherein the plan and the larger whole are cognized. And really, when a person is all absorbed in their own particular issues of integration, their own particular problems with their own, with the functioning of their vehicles, and maybe the dissonant functioning of their own vehicles, they're not quite ready for this integration into the larger whole, or at least they're torn about it. They have a lot of personal issues, even though they're trying to fulfill some kind of role within the larger whole according to soul direction. So at the same time, this conscious form is slowly arriving at a point where integration into the larger whole becomes desirable and is finally achieved. This is the idea of service and service of the whole, always service of a larger context than the personal context. So let's see, let's call this service within a larger context than the personal, a personal context. Again, in the waking consciousness, you know, these states, high states may exist within the individual, and yet he may be unaware of these. And that's kind of an interesting idea. DK was talking to some of his students and said, well, look, a lot of you, some of you anyway, have contact with me, and you don't know that you have the contact. In other words, an energy state can exist without the consciousness being aware of it. And I think I'll put that down. An energy state can exist without the consciousness being aware of its existence. So is he emphasizes always the idea of consciousness and in the waking consciousness. So just what transpires in the realm of activity is not enough. There must be consciousness of what is already, what is transpiring in the realm of activity. There must be consciousness of that which is transpiring in the realm of activity. Okay. This process of conscious assimilation, see, you know, the new astrology is the astrology of consciousness, and the new psychology is not just about integrating the individual into society in terms of activity, but is related to the care and cultivation and pacification or harmonization, better word, harmonization of the consciousness. So this process of conscious assimilation is carried forward progressively by the gradual integration of the part into the family unit, the nation, the community, the nation, the social order, the current civilization, the world of nations, and finally into humanity itself. So these are the progressive phases of integration, and each can present its problems. We oftentimes see, we have this problem called alienation, as if one is an outsider within one's context. Then you feel alienated from it. You feel different, isolated, alone, incapable of interplaying in a harmonious and productive manner with one's particular context. This can happen right in the family. There are members of the family who feel alienated from it. And this is all under the law of cleavages. Alienation is a state of separation. Let's call it that. Alienation is a state of separation. And integration overcomes separation, leading to unity, leading to eventual realization of one's inseparability from the larger context, the ever larger context, from the larger whole. So assimilation, conscious assimilation into ever larger contexts. And a gradual integration, which means a kind of a, well, it's a kind of a merging with. Becoming a part of, realizing oneself as an aspect of the context in which one is immersed. You know, some people say, well, I'm not really a member of my family. I was born into the wrong family. We've all heard that. Oh, I was born into the wrong race. I was born into the wrong nation. Oh, I'm not really human. I'm something else. I don't know why I was born in humanity. I'm really a different form of life. There are people who do, you know, they say that. So the overcoming of alienation, the overcoming of this distinct feeling of being separate from the context of in which one should really be a part, or of which one should be a part. So this integration is both, therefore, both physical in nature and an attitude of mind, see, overcoming dissonance with respect to one's context, one's environment, one's surroundings. So the attitude of mind, you know, one can be in some ways very much physically part of some context and feel in one's psyche not a part of it at all. We see that going on all the time. You know, let's say sometimes physically one goes through the emotions and appears to be coordinated within one's context, and yet attitudinally one feels separate and alienated. And you oftentimes see that happening, you know, when people are about to lose their job, let's say. Well, they're performing their functions, they're doing what they are supposed to do apparently, but without any real spirit because their mind is elsewhere. And they feel increasingly internally distant from the activities in which they are engaging, even if the activities seem to be done correctly. And then there will come a breaking point, a point of separation, because no one can maintain that kind of dissonant division for too long. It is destructive of one's mechanism. So unless there is a change of attitude with respect to the context, the attitude will lead into another context which seems more harmonious with the psychological nature. So, therefore, integration is both physical and an attitude of mind. And I would say, you know, the attitude of mind is even the most important. Although sometimes, you know, it's interesting that if one begins doing the right thing physically, the attitude can follow. I'm thinking about the training of actors and how it's the Stanislavski method. It has to do with performing the actions of a particular character in the right manner, and that seems to entrain, capture, attract the states of mind, the emotions, the feelings that would go with the performance of that particular physical action. It's looked at from both different ways, from different ways, depending on what school of acting is one's approach, or where one is being trained. So anyway, an attitude of mind. The consciousness of the man is gradually aroused so that it recognizes this relation of the part to the whole. So many people, as I say, are in a way going through the motions, and they don't know what role they play in the larger context. So many people. do not know what role they play within the larger context. But gradually, one stands back and begins to see, especially as life goes on, what one's particular activities have contributed to the larger process. So the consciousness of the man is gradually aroused so that it recognizes this relation to the of the part of the whole with the implied interrelation of all parts within the whole. So, you know, here we're dealing with seventh ray matters in a way. The seventh ray is an integrative ray and creates links between the parts. And the processes are supposed to run smoothly and rhythmically. And that would be the truly organic state. I guess every ray can contribute to the process of integration, but when it comes to bringing many energies and forces together in some sort of physical demonstration, the seventh ray is very efficient, very valuable in that process. So DK here is trying to define for us in clearer than usual terms, not clear for him, but maybe clearer than the terms in which we usually think, what integration really means. The man who has awakened to full consciousness in the various aspects of his nature, emotional, mental, and egoic, realizes himself first of all as a personality. Now here, egoic, I suppose, he usually means soul consciousness. So we awaken to our emotional nature and its dynamics. We awaken to our mental nature and its dynamics, and we begin to enter this world where higher streams of energy also enter consciousness, higher perceptions, and we can call these egoic perceptions. But the first realization, even when there are perceptions of oneself as having an ego, is of the personality. So the first realization, even when there is egoic contact, is of oneself as a personality. This is interesting because he talked about the technique of fusion leading to the emergence of the personality ray. The personality ray as a sub-ray of the soul ray, with the soul working with greater ease through that now non-resistant personality. So this process of integration is an awakening to in full consciousness to the various aspects of one's nature, and then a coordination of those aspects. So the awakening is necessary, and also the coordination of the various aspects. Oh, how about spelling? To which one is awakened. All right, so we become aware. First, we must become aware. Before we can integrate anything, we must be aware of the factors which we are intending to integrate. So before we can become aware, before we can integrate our various aspects, we must become aware of them. Now, that's pretty obvious. You can't bring into a working relationship that of which you are not even cognizant. And so many people, of course, are not cognizant of their higher impulses, their soul impulses. And so we cannot speak yet of integration with the soul. He integrates his various bodies with their different states of consciousness into one active reality. And notice the word active. This is not just one of those words which is not chosen for purpose. The personality represents the activity aspect of the energy system. The the soul representing the consciousness aspect, and the monad representing the will aspect, we might say. Or sometimes the life aspect. It depends on how we look at that. Sometimes the word life, it seems to me, should represent the point within the triangle and should not be associated with the first ray particularly. It's as if life is all-inclusive, and it almost should be, to me, will, consciousness, and activity, with life somehow central to them all and containing them all. But maybe I'm splitting hairs here, you know. So he integrates his various bodies with their different states of consciousness into one active reality. The third aspect of divinity is that aspect with which the personality is generically to be associated. He is then definitely a personality and has passed a major milestone on the path of return. He is a, what can we call it? He is then an active, intelligent unit. Because the intelligence aspect is the third aspect of divinity, and what we seek to have is an intelligent personality, along with a sensitive and loving soul and a strong, spiritually commanding will. So many people now, since Leo is of such great importance in the human family at this time, are emerging into this stage of selfish or self-concerned, self-centered personality integration. And passing a major milestone upon the path of return. This is the first great step. And this is not the step that we are really talking about. Okay, so this is foundational to the state we are beginning to discuss. This integration into one active reality. And I just somehow want to make that a little bit bigger for the sake of emphasis, one active reality. Okay. Right. So, inevitably, the evolutionary process must bring to pass this phenomenal occurrence. We really realize the excellence with which Master DK chooses his words. They are really indicative of his thought. It's a phenomenal occurrence. It is not a noumenal occurrence. It is an outward expression in the three lower worlds, and utilizes the activity aspect of the nature, and does not emphasize the sensitivity or consciousness aspect. All right. Noumenal, yes. Phenomenal and noumenal, and that which is phenomenal is an outward expression of that which is noumenal or essential, or is the true energy relationship upon which the phenomenal is built. So inevitably, the evolutionary process must bring to pass this phenomenal occurrence. We certainly do use words in ways that are not really revelatory of their true meaning. You know, sometimes, you know how it goes, someone does something exciting or Maybe you see an acrobat doing something really amazing, and say, "Wow, that's phenomenal!" You know, I suppose you could say it is a real demonstration of skill, but we tend to use the word phenomenal as if it means extraordinary, when in fact it means an externalization in the world of form of that which has a subtler form in the inner worlds, and is therefore the basis of the externalization, and is therefore noumenal. Okay. Now, all right. Inevitably, the evolutionary process must bring to pass this phenomenal occurrence in the case of every human being, but it can be produced and is increasingly so produced today by a planned mental application to the task and an intelligent consideration of the relation of the part to the whole. In other words, how do we deliberately create what's called one active reality, the integrated personality? It will be found that the purely selfish material personality will eventually arrive at the condition wherein the man will be conscious of integrated activity and power. So again, we have to realize that this stage precedes the stage of development which we are seeking to establish through the use of these formulas. So it will be found that the purely selfish material personality focused within the three lower worlds will eventually arrive at the condition wherein the man will be conscious of an integrated activity and power. And isn't this interesting? Notice that the 1, 3, 5, 7 line is emphasized, and DK did not mention love and sensitivity, which are factors of relationship, and which overcome separation, the distinguishing factor of the selfish personality. Okay. So he will become conscious of integrated activity and power because he has developed and integrated his own separative parts into one whole, and generally this does not include his egoic aspect. Sometimes the word ego is used in the sense of the selfish personality. Oftentimes, most times, DK uses the word ego to represent the higher self. So we'll have to be cautious in our use of that word. He has developed and integrated his own separative parts. And why are they separative? They are separative because they are elemental, and lunar, and non-affiliative, if I can put it that way. So he has developed and integrated his own separative parts into one whole. He has studied and used his environment, or the whole of which his personality is but a part, in such a way that it contributes to his desire, you know, his separative desire, his success, and his emergence into prominence. So his emergence into prominence. And I think what I'll do here, make sure I have the bracket. In our slang words, we say he is interested in number one, Number one is one of those marvelous sort of slang descriptions of the attitude of the dominant personality, the separative personality. There are also personalities which are motivated toward a higher type of union, but then the soul has begun to have its effect. The soul, no matter what its ray, also always inclines towards a type of unification. So his emergence into prominence, or we can say, you know, rising to the, as they say, top of the heap. It's a first-ray thing to do, but then the selfish personality has much of the first-ray separative dynamic. In other words, whatever the personality ray is, it seeks a certain distinctness, a certain distinctiveness from the others who are around. Let other forms exist. I rule because I am. Just by the very nature of being, I feel I have the right to be distinctive and to, in some way, be more important than others. I think that's an important phrase. He thinks of himself as more important and than others, and he certainly pays more attention to himself than to others. Now, we've been told that the Christ, who is the great example of the second ray, of the consciousness aspect, of the sensitivity aspect, he's been called a man for others, whereas a personality is pretty much a man for oneself. Always thinking of oneself, at least, as the most important aspect among the various contents of consciousness, which of course include other people. There's a special sensitivity to oneself. I think we can say that in the personality phase, the selfish phase, there is a special sensitivity to oneself within the context in which one finds oneself. You know, sometimes people will say, well, look, you know, the world doesn't revolve around you. There are other people here. You know, you're not the only one. See, these are the kinds of things that are said to the personality type who has rendered himself separative within his context and is self-absorbed. I guess we can say that as well. Let's say the selfish personality is self-absorbed, even if not dominating others. As I say, the first the first ray is present in this dynamic of becoming the separative personality who seeks to rise into prominence in one way or another. It's not always the prominence of telling other people what to do. It's the prominence of emphasizing one's own importance from some perspective. In our seven ray seminars, we play what we call the see me game. And it is the attitude of the personality emphasizing its own importance within any particular context. You know, the first ray type, see how strong and powerful I am. The second ray type, see how loving and sensitive I am. Third, see how intelligent and efficient I am. Third ray type, see how expressive I am. Fourth ray type, see how practical, what can I say? Do I know so little of the fifth ray that I can't think of something here? But it's a question of being able to handle any, see what an expert I am, I guess we could look at it that way. See how devoted I am for the sixth ray. See how well organized I am. But it's always self-reference, you see. So the prominence is related to self-reference. Okay. Reference. Reverence, too. Self-reverence. Well, that's a more critical phase. The disease has become greater when you have for yourself self-reverence, you know. So in doing this, he necessarily has to make, when becoming successful, when mastering his environment, he necessarily has to make some living contribution to the whole in order to evoke its integrating power. His motive, however, being purely selfish and material in objective, can only carry him a certain distance along the path of the higher integration. So there is something given. Even the selfish integrated personality gives something to the whole, but the motive is not the welfare of the whole. You know, you think about people who have, let's say they've, even the selfish, right? They are very good at what they do. They are competing with others. They win. They have some sort of ability to do their job very, very well. Let's say, I don't know, we might work on Wall Street, let us say. It's a center that has been considered of late fairly selfish. And you work very well for your company and you bring in big gains and profits for your company and you are rewarded with big bonuses because you work very well for your company. You're very good at what you do, but what is your motive? Your motive is your own advancement. If you seek the advancement for your company, it's because it advances you, and so you know your welfare is tied to the advancement of the company. In other words, the eyes are still upon the personal, little, unrelated self, the separative self. So in this stage, the eyes are still upon the separative self. And the motive is a self-centered one, a self-important one. You know, sometimes people get into situations and difficult things happen, and for such a person they say, well, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me, you see? The eye is very much upon this skin-encapsulated ego that we identify as the me, as the self. So it's a phase, and it does contribute to the whole, no question about it. But it can only take us so far. The unselfish, spiritually oriented man also integrates the various aspects of himself. And we might say here, including the higher self, or soul, into one functioning whole, but the focus of his activity is contribution, not acquisition. Well, that should be standing out, you know, in somehow in bold letters, because this really defines the difference between the selfish integration and the altruistic integration. The focus of his activity is contribution, not acquisition, and by the working of the higher law, the law of service, he becomes integrated not only as a human being within the radius of the prevalent civilization, but also into that wider and more inclusive world of conscious activity which we call the kingdom of God. So basically, even though DK is going in a sequential manner, he here describes a spiritual achievement. two kinds of integration. The human being in the civilizational context in which he finds himself, and also the man knowing himself as a unit of consciousness, as a soul, integrated into a truly spiritual context which involves the spiritual hierarchy of our planet and the kingdom of souls, the kingdom of God. And actually, we can't relinquish the lower type of integration. We still have to be effective. Those people who try to integrate themselves only into the kingdom of God and drop their responsibilities within the civilizational context are ineffective, and it's are involved in some sort of cleavage which will react upon them and eject them and render them futile, useless. So there is the selfish and the unselfish type of integration, and I would say that the types of integration we're studying here definitely are the unselfish types. The formulas which we are going to be using are intended to produce an unselfish integration. So the formulas we are using are intended to produce an unselfish personality integration into a larger context, both global and spiritual. All right, integration. Well, I think that may be far enough for us to take this particular section. So this will be, we'll review this a little bit. We'll review this. This is the end of Techniques of Integration Webinar Commentaries number 3, Esoteric Psychology 2, page something, page 350. And we will be beginning with Techniques of Integration Webinar Commentaries 4, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 350. These are very practical matters around us and among our associates are people who are passing through the various phases which will be here described. And we have to develop an acute sense of observation and to interpret the behavior, the orientation, the activity, the process of people around us in terms of the phases about which we're now going to learn. And then we will see this whole continuum of development. It will become increasingly clear to us, and we'll be able to know how we can best help anyone that comes to our attention and who swings into our orbit of influence, perhaps karmically. We will know how best to assist. Okay, so we will go on shortly. See you then.